They on the rock are they which, when they hear the word of God, that is, they receive that word with joy. But these have no root. Now they get a spouse. Some preacher or some person arranges for their engagement and they become engaged to Christ. Yeah, but what happens? These have no root spiritually. Which for a while believe. They hang on for a while. Or somebody hangs on to them is about the way it is. And in time of temptation, they fall away. Their engagement is broken. Let me tell you, when you're perfidious with Christ, or treacherous, that engagement, you break it. You break the bonds of that engagement. You break the terms of that engagement. There's conditions on that. He's not going to walk with you unless you're a chaste virgin. You can stay there as long as you're chaste and you're a virgin. You break those bonds of that agreement, of engagement. Be something to get engaged to a boy or girl and they get running around on you, wouldn't it? And then you marry them. Wouldn't that be nice? But no. You know that don't work out even in natural life. Jesus is more, he's more demanding than a bride to be or a groom to be by far. All right, that engagement is broken. Listen to verse 14. That which fell among thorns are they. See, these are those that hear the word of God. Christians or sinners that hear the word of God and become Christians. They're espoused to Christ. Which, when they have heard, they go forth after they've heard, after they've been espoused, but they're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Now, they brought forth fruit. It was just imperfect fruit. It was immature fruit. It was withered fruit. It was worm-eaten fruit or something of that sort, all gnarled and very undesirable, say the least, ugly. They didn't bring any fruit to perfection, and their engagement was broken off. When we fail to bring forth fruit of the Spirit that are perfect, the Bible speaks of those perfect fruits. You ever heard tell of perfect peace? You ever tell God will keep him perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee? You can have perfect peace, and you must have it. Then it talks of perfect love. Boy, the book of John, that old beloved apostle, boy, he wrote a lot about that love in 1 John, especially chapter 4. Perfect love casteth out fear, for fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so forth. Perfect faith. Abraham had it. We can have it. And the other fruit of the Spirit must be brought forth to perfection. Our old faith is all wrinkled and gnarled and wormy and, oh, yeah, I got faith. Yeah, but look at that fruit. See what kind of fruit that faith produced. See what kind of fruit that love looks like. That old love's all gnarled, and you painted it, but it still is bad. It might look good, but underneath it's not. God don't accept that. Your fruit has to be perfect. And see, the engagement was broken. Verse 15, but the quality, or the fourth here, the fourth type of individual who heard the word of God and received it. Here's their quality. But that on the good ground are they, the Christians, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Good fruit! You ain't going to bring good fruit being impatient with God. You get out there and be impatient with these apple trees we have out here, a peach or plum or something. You start grabbing the fruit or doing something, trying to eat it before you give it time. You'll have belly aches and all kind of infirmities. That's not what God receives, and Jesus won't have it. How about the church in Laodicea? They gave him the belly ache, and he spewed them out of his mouth. Imperfect fruit. Jesus will have nothing but fruit to perfection. That means love to perfection. Joy to perfection, peace, faith, long-suffering, all those fruit must be to perfection. or you won't be presented perfect with Christ and his work bearing that fruit in you. You might get a spouse, you might have been engaged to Christ, but that engagement will be broken unless we work and strive for perfection. 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, and old Brother Paul was always talking about such things as this, and he's very brilliant in his estimation and his direction in this matter. 1 Thessalonians 3:10, he says, "Night and day I pray exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Night and day, I want to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Why? Verse 13, "To the end that he may establish your hearts." There's that word again, establish. "That he may anchor your hearts immovable. In holiness, unblameable." Establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Paul strived and worked mightily to present his disciples that he had espoused to Christ as a chaste virgin. They had to go on to perfection. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of his everlasting covenant, can present us perfect before him, faultless before him, blameless before him, that there will be no charges on us in that great day of Christ's return. In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, again this warning, "I write not these things to warn you." 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14. "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you." Warnings! Warning! Hey, that's wrong! Hey, you're heading the wrong way! You're not submitting to God as you should. You're being disobedient. You're being contrary, rebellious. Your life, your lifestyle is not in order with sound doctrine of the Word of God. Oh, yeah, you might think it is. That's where you got to have a man of God to tell you, hey, you're contrary. You're not...